Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. Brought to you by Blue Sky Business Consulting, we discuss five questions in about 15 minutes.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast. We are glad to have you here today, and I'm very excited to welcome our guest today. This is Christy Pretzinger, and she is the founder and CEO of Writer Girl, or WG Content. Christy, thank you so much for taking time to join me on the podcast today. What would you like the audience to know about WG Content?
Well, thanks for having me, Sean. Actually, the company has been known as Writer Girl for many, many years. And just recently, we decided to rebrand and rename the organization to WG Content, holding on to the legacy of WG from Writer Girl, which many people refer to us as. And the reason we did that is because it more fully captures the services, the broadness of the services that we offer.
And it's basically writing content. Is that what you do?
Well, yes, writing content, but all sorts of content now, because there's video, there's infographics,
true.
There's podcasting, there's, you know, all sorts of things. And we do all of that as well and creation. So we do both strategy.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that makes sense then why you kind of need to expand just a little bit. So that's awesome. All right, well, let's jump to our questions. Now, Christy, for question number one, obviously in a business environment, it's necessary sometimes to make some changes or adjustments. You guys are going through that right now. How does a business leader know when to pivot?
Well, there's a lot of factors involved in that, aren't there? I think that part of it is over time, hopefully, as a business owner, you develop a shorter learning curve, right? You've got some knowledge and some runway behind you that you can say like, oh yeah, I think that maybe this has happened before and I know that it's time to pivot. I rely very much, I'm a believer in many counselors make for wise decisions. So I do not just unilaterally make decisions like that. I very much listen to my leadership team and kind of keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening to figure out, you know, what we should be doing. We had an example recently where we were trying an adjacent market to healthcare, was just a little bit adjacent. And I think that in that case, we let that go on a little too long before we realized that that's probably not a great place for us. So of course, hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? So now Looking at that, it's like, okay, well, let's just, you know, that's when I need to keep a little tighter finger on the pulse of that than I have before. So I think, again, knowing when to pivot for me very much involves my leadership team and getting not necessarily consensus, but getting information from them so then I can make the best educated decision, keeping in mind my fiduciary responsibility for the organization.
I really like that. I like that you kind of have a, not like you said, not necessarily decision by committee, but certainly some collaboration and discussion that helps to feed the information to you so that you can make an educated decision on whether it's time to make an adjustment. But I like also that you mentioned about the experience and that will lead, because, hey, we've been down this road before and this is kind of having some same symptoms. It's almost like, this is probably a terrible comparison, but it's almost like sometimes when you start to feel a little bit funny in the throat or headache, oh, I think I might be getting a cold or something, and you kind of can get ahead of it a little bit. But yeah, that's a great suggestions on how to know when to pivot.
Yes.
Well, question number two, share with the audience one of your company's core values and then how that value helps you make decisions.
I'm a big believer in core values. And in fact, one of the things that I frequently say is that your values should remain constant. The expression of those values may change. So our values are really interwoven because we are empowered, curious, kind, and fun. And one of the things about that is that we actually really weave that into our daily work and also into like our monthly all hands meetings and different things like that. We actually ask for somebody, our HR coordinator will pull out a value and say, okay, this month it's empowered. And so she asks people to send in examples of a coworker that they have seen demonstrating empowerment. And then we draw a name out of that hat and somebody gets a gift card. So there's a way to recognize people, but really to keep it in the forefront. So it's not just words on a page somewhere. So every one of those really informs our decision-making and not just mine, but everyone in the organization. I always say your values are common thread that pulls throughout your organization and upon which every decision can hang.
Oh, I like that. And I like that you actually put the values into action, because I run into companies all the time that they have values, but they don't really factor too much into the decisions and how they do things in a day-to-day situation. So I love that you're doing that. Well done. All right. Question number three. What's one tip that you would offer business leaders on how to find and then hire talent?
Well, my personal passion is creating an environment where people can thrive. And I have found that to be useful in terms of recruitment, because the word is out that it's a wonderful place to work. And frequently, really most of our hires come from either friends, family members, former coworkers, who then refer their friends and family and former coworkers to come work at this organization because they really like it. Two employees are dear friends of mine's children. So that's very, very nice to have. And then many of them, like I said, have worked together at other organizations. And now they got the band back together just at a different organization.
But for you, culture is obviously a big thing because that's how you're creating the culture that people want to come to. And if that's how you're basically attracting them to come to you because of the culture. I love that.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. That's great. All right. Well, kind of following up along that, our question number four, how can leaders help to identify and then develop strengths within the company?
There's, of course, many ways of doing this. The way that we do that is very intentional, which I think you have to be intentional about such things. And for our organization, we use something called the Enneagram. And for your listeners who aren't familiar, it's a personality typing. There's a million of them out there. But the difference between the Enneagram and all the others, in my experience, is that the Enneagram looks at the motivation for behavior as opposed to just looking at behavior. Because many people, our behavior can look very similar, but the why is incredibly different. So we have every single new employee typed when they first join the organization. They get a book on the subject. They have a couple sessions with our Enneagram coach to kind of learn a little bit. The whole point is to first start learning about yourself, understanding your strengths and weaknesses and opportunities for growth. That's obviously key, is your self-awareness. And then understanding the other types. And we do workshops around that, lunch and learns, sometimes full day workshops, to give people an opportunity to understand the motivations for why someone behaves the way they do. And what we've found is that when you really understand that, when you try and get into the shoes of another person, it really fosters radical empathy. And as long as you have radical empathy, you tend to be kind, which is definitely one of our values as well. So that has been an incredibly valuable tool, both personally and professionally, for people on our team.
That's really impressive. You've really woven together a lot of infrastructure there that is really solid. I'm really impressed because that is something that's not always easy to do. And there's a lot of leaders out there that, quite frankly, don't even think about how to develop their personnel very well. But you've obviously put a lot of, you use the word intention, you put a lot of intention behind it, a lot of purpose behind it. You've woven in those values in there really well. That's fantastic. Great examples. I appreciate you sharing those. All right. Our last question, kind of a fun question. Tell us a little bit about your first job.
It's pretty funny. I mean, it was so long ago. First of all, I hardly remember. But I studied French in college. So I came out basically with no skills for the workplace as a major. I mean, it's worked out pretty well. And actually, most of the people who work for us, because we have so much writing and things like that, tend to be liberal arts people, or, you know, they get masters and whatnot. But in my case, I had a degree in French. And I ended up getting a job with an incentive travel company. I don't even know if they exist anymore, but it was a company called EF McDonald at the time. I don't know if it's still around. And basically, I planned incentive travel trips for like car dealers, Avon ladies, things like that. And I worked in the international area. So I got to travel with them. I got to go to France with them. I got to go to Vienna and the UK. So I did do some traveling with them. But it was, boy, I'll tell you what, I think I made $13,000 a year. That was my salary. That was a big
impressive. Big bucks. But you got to travel a little bit. For a lot of people, that's compensation in and of itself.
So. They had to work the whole time you were traveling, which was like, that was something else.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a great, a fun first job. It obviously creates some challenge in its own right. And I think that's fantastic. I like that. That's a new one for me. All the guests that I've had, that's the first time I've had somebody talk about being in the promotional travel industry. So that's great. Well, Christy, thank you again for being on the podcast today. How can people find you?
You can go to writergirl.com. And when the new name launches, which will be shortly, that will just point you to wgcontent.com. So either place. I'm also on LinkedIn, Christy Pretzinger on LinkedIn. That's really about it. That and the website. You can easily find me on the website.
Great. Thank you so much. And thanks again for being on with us. And thanks to all of you who are watching or listening. We appreciate your support every week, and we encourage you to continue to develop leadership skills within the team and the company. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.
This is Sean Richards with the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. For more ideas, go to teamengagementpodcast.com. We also invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast wherever you may be listening or watching. Is your business thriving? Go to tbs-score.com to find out. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.